You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
Fresh from America's Dairyland,
ladies and gentlemen.
From the Benches Podcast.
Listening to From the Benches with Ross Uglum and Ryan Hilsler.
Hello and welcome back to another Victory Monday morning edition of From the Benches, and it is a very special edition indeed. We are coming to you live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am not only here with my normal co-host, Ryan Hilsler. Ryan, say hello.
How are we doing, guys? Obviously, a big game today and a little something special to celebrate.
Not only am I here with Ryan, but we also have an epic blast from the past. Former show host Jacob Westendorf is here live in living color. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. As my good friend Marshall Mathers once said, it feels so good to be back. Good to be doing a show with you guys again tonight and a victory. Victory Monday, always a good thing to celebrate.
Right, I get to wear the bucket hat.
Exactly. Who doesn't love Victory Monday bucket hat?
So, as we said, Green Bay kind of took care of business today, but they did win. They beat the Chargers 27-20. Guys, time of possession was insane. Play totals were insane. The final time of possession was 38-22. Did it feel to you guys like we ever had the ball?
No, it didn't. When the Packers scored, they scored relatively quickly, and when they didn't, they went three and out. It was a lot of quick possessions, and yeah, the Chargers held the ball forever, run a ton of short plays, didn't do a lot of big down the field stuff to shorten drives, and it was a really big discrepancy.
Yeah, no, you're right. The Packers, it was pretty much, score or go three and out. And some of the frustrations on offense continue. Points off turnovers remain to be an issue. And if they don't score a touchdown, it pretty much feels like they don't get a first down. And it's a three and out or a four-play possession if they do get one on first down. Frustrating to see, but ultimately they did score. They had enough of those drives that resulted in a touchdown or one field goal, a couple field goals in today's case. So that was nice. Ultimately, an ugly win is far better than a pretty loss.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, part of that lack of being able to move the ball is we're pretty beat up on offense.
Yeah.
Davante Adams didn't go, and obviously, these are defensive guys, but Morgan Burnett didn't play, B.J. Raji didn't play, Nick Perry didn't play. We're going to talk a little bit about what that all means later on when we talk about the bye week, which is what the Packers have coming up next. Is we don't play next weekend. It's going to give a lot of guys a chance to get healthy, chance to get this offense up to full speed. As far as in-game injuries, as far as I can remember, it's just the one. I mean, Ty Montgomery got dinged up over on the sideline. It looked like a possible knee injury. Seems to be negative on that x-ray, and that it's going to be an ankle situation. We'll see how long that takes. Let's talk about the defense. As a whole, obviously, that's more yards than you'd like to give up. But at the same time, only 20 points given up. Jacob, what did you see from the defense? Do you have a level of concern against what was not a great offensive line? What did you see from them?
The lack of pass rush, or what appeared to be a lack of pass rush, seems frustrating. But we've talked about it, before the show and such. It was really three-step drops, getting the ball out quick, on ultimately the last play of the game, Julius Peppers was right there. They got pressure when they needed it. This was always going to happen. When you have as many young players on that side of the ball as the Packers do, you're going to have some struggles, some growing pains. Demarius Randall ended up making play of the game, so that was nice to see. Sam Shields didn't have his best game. Keenan Allen had about 14 catches. I don't know, 110 billion, as Ross likes to say. So that was frustrating. But my level of concern, I think this is more blip than trend.
I agree. Ryan, what did you think of what you saw defensively? And we're going to dive a little bit more into what the problem was when we go behind the benches. But just as kind of a high-level overview, what were you thinking?
Yeah, it wasn't anything that was super alarming to me. Obviously, the yardage total is scary, but I don't think it was anything that was a really big problem. Looking at the, like we said, they ran a ton of plays. They ran 89 plays. So on a per-play basis, that's 6 yards a play. Not ideally what where you want to be, but I think the volume really, really added up and makes some of the, you know, the initial numbers that you look at look a little bit worse. And the like I said, we're going to talk about it a little deeper, but the Chargers did exactly what they needed to from a scheming standpoint to attack the Packers defense.
I totally agree, and we're going to dive into that scheme right now.
I don't think he's probably...
Offensive coordinator Frank Reich and head coach Mike McCoy, I thought, had a really nice game plan. We're going to dive behind the benches now and talk a little bit of X's and O's. I'll start and talk about what I kind of saw. I saw a lot of, and Dom Capers does this a lot, especially now that Matthews plays inside. I saw a lot of inside pressure. The Chargers came into the game missing the entire left side of their line, and I don't just mean left guard, left tackle. Their center was out as well. So there's a lot of interior pressure being brought and a ton of in-breaking routes, whether it was a slant from Keenan Allen, which I swear he caught like 11 of those, or a dump to Brandon Oliver, a dump to Antonio Gates, a dump to Danny Woodhead. It seemed like that middle of the defense that's vacated by blitzers was really being utilized by San Diego effectively. Plus, when you do that kind of stuff, you know, the ball gets out of your hands so fast that you don't have to worry about the pass rush. And that's why I think, you know, we were joking, not even joking, we were talking about, do you think they can get to 10 sacks this week because of how awesome Green Bay had been rushing the passer, and at the same time how poor, or not maybe poor, but just beat up that the Chargers were on the offensive line. Obviously, that was mitigated because we only ended up with 3 sacks. Part of that, I mean, it's weird to say, but I think we did miss Nick Perry. Seriously, I mean, he's been fantastic, and it gives them another pass rush look where when you're blocking Nick Perry, it's different from when you're blocking Clay Matthews, it's different from when you're blocking Julius Peppers, and it's different from when you're blocking Mike Neal. I thought Jay Elliott was pretty quiet today. He's a guy that has been making a lot of plays this season. Guys, talk a little X's and O's. Jacob, go ahead, or Ryan, go ahead and go first.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of quick stuff. It was short routes, quick drops, nothing that was going to allow the pass rush to get there really quickly. It was, if you go back and look, Mike Daniels, like he has been all season, was getting pressure. There was pressure, you know, the pocket was starting to break down, but it didn't matter because the ball was out almost on every play. The ball was out before anybody could get there. I think that was a really big part of it. Was, like you said, it was a lot of short stuff, a lot of short routes, slants to Keenan Allen, stuff to the tight ends. They have two capable tight ends, a really good receiving back in the out of the backfield, and Danny Woodhead. And Keenan Allen is a fantastic quick route runner. He's open on slants all the time, and Phillip Rivers just found him. If you go back and look at the way the defensive line and the front seven played in pressure, they were moving the offensive line back. There was pressure starting to get there, but it just never was able to get there in time because Phillip Rivers was able to get rid of the ball so quickly, and because they were able to do damage in short yardage on quick plays. So I don't see it as being a huge problem for the Packers defense. I did some quick math just now. We did 6.1 yards per play given up by the Packers defense, and the Packers offense had 7.8 yards per play. So if you look at the total numbers, the Chargers had a ton of yards, but on a per play basis, it was the Packers actually were more efficient on offense. It was just that the Chargers ran 40 extra offensive plays. So the numbers look scarier than I think they really are. I didn't see anything really super alarming by the defense today.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, one other thing, you mentioned Reich and McCoy, Ross, and, you know, I want to give some credit to Phillip Rivers as well. A guy takes a lot of flack. He's very animated, and he hasn't won a lot from an accomplishment standpoint. No Super Bowl appearances, no Super Bowl rings, but his play, I watched the Monday night game last week and obviously watched him today. His work at the line of scrimmage is really almost as good as it gets in the rest of the NFL. You know, he diagnosed where the pressure was coming from and just kind of found where that pressure was coming from. He did very well, I thought, at adjusting plays and getting the ball out quick as well. You know, you can have a game plan all you want, but the game plan doesn't work if Nick Foles is your quarterback and throws the ball four times to the other defense. Rivers didn't do that. Now, the Packers had some missed opportunities. Sam Shields had two dropped interceptions. Randall could have had one. Not going to call that a drop, but, you know, they just missed some opportunities today. I agree with Ryan. Like I said, nothing. It sounds alarming when you say 500 yards passing, and it is. But it's not something I think that's going to become a big trend. It's something that Dom Capers probably needs to learn to adjust to a little bit, and it seemed like it took them forever to figure out what was going on. It was like they get inside the red zone, and you can't really run that short, quick stuff anymore because the windows are so clouded as far as getting the ball to. But, you know, got to have a little bit better quicker adjustments is what I'll say as far as the coaching staff goes.
Well, right, and I mean that came on 68 dropbacks, so it's not, you know, it's just not that alarming. If that was the only way that they were going to do it, and they had the ball the whole time, and we were scoring quick. You and I talked a little bit pre-show. It was kind of 2011 disease. That kind of stuff happened a lot to that team because the offense would go down and score so quickly. Guys, let's keep talking defense for one more point here. Two more points. This is a guy that we've kind of adopted or that we always thought was going to make it, and he's really starting to do that now. And I'm talking, of course, about Dayton Jones. He was a monster today, causing pressure up the middle. He had a huge sack of Rivers late in the second half and had multiple other tackles for loss. What are you guys seeing in year three that we missed in year one and two? I mean, do you think that really was interrelated? Or we've talked about how long it usually takes defensive linemen to – you know, mature and start making impact. What do you think it is with Dayton Jones? Why is he playing so well?
Health is the first one. You know, you can see it. Nick Perry last week, his injury was almost predictable because it feels like whenever he gets some momentum going and becoming a good player, he exits the game with an injury shortly thereafter. Dayton's kind of the same thing. He's had some injury issues in the past. And another thing I think is just he's learning how to be an NFL player. He's finishing plays. You know, he would be in the backfield the last couple years. Just wouldn't tackle the running back or tackle the quarterback. This year he's doing that, so those plays are starting to show up. But, I mean, it can legitimately be argued at this point. Dayton's been their best pass-rushing defensive lineman. It's him or Mike Daniels, and I don't have exact numbers, metrics, anything like that. Just based on what I can see, Dayton's been a stud, and I really don't think there's a better way to put that. I'm really excited to see if he can build on this going forward because when you draft a guy in the first round, especially someone like him that was at a position of need, you need him to do well. And this year, so far he has. And that's a really good thing to see. And it can really elevate this defense from above average to very good.
Well, and I remember that interview last year. I can't remember which writer it was, and I apologize for that. But he counted. I counted off. He says, well, I missed this sack, missed that sack. By the end of the interview, he said, I think I missed 8 sacks. So that's exactly what you're talking about is finishing plays. Ryan, what have you seen out of the former first round pick?
Yeah, not only the sack and the pass or the sack and the tackles for losses, he also had a big batted ball on a pass. I think there was on a third down that stopped the drive. So he's, for me, as much as the health and things, it's been consistency. We've always seen, you know, little flashes, and that's why we have been so excited about him as a player. You've seen little plays, but he doesn't put it together, which is kind of the same thing that we saw with Mike Daniels earlier in his career. Now this season, last season, Mike Daniels started to put it together, and this season he's really fully put it together. I think I'm seeing the same kind of thing out of Dayton Jones. He's overcome some injury issues and is now starting to be able to do those flashes on a more consistent basis. He's doing them more often, more consistently, and he's having an impact on more of the snaps that he plays on. And it's exciting.
I like what they're doing, honestly, with him, too, from a rotation standpoint. He does not get that many snaps, which, obviously, if you think he's as good as we think he is, maybe that's a problem. But at the same time, keeping him fresh and using him in this rotation really seems like it's effective. Let's talk more defense and talk about another Pac-12 guy, Demaryius Randall. He's playing every snap now. I mean, he's the outside guy in the nickel, and against a shotgun team like San Diego, I mean, I think we were in nickel for, I would guess, upwards of 85% of the snaps. I know there were a few times in some short yardage situations where we went base just because I counted the defensive linemen, but for most of the day, Randall was, you know, on the outside and really, really, really playing well. Jacob, what did you see from him, and what have you seen from him this season? Because Brian and I haven't really talked a ton of Demaryius Randall yet.
Well, I remember, you know, Tremont Williams and Devon House leave, and, you know, we were talking at that time, and even still before the season started, it was terrifying. I mean, you're talking about replacing two veterans, one guy that was an ascending young player and another steady veteran like Tremont Williams with two rookies. And you're talking about growing pains. Corner is typically a position like defensive lineman that takes a year for a guy to be ready to go. Randall stepped in, and he's passed every single test that they've given him. I can't remember. Obviously, there's been plays here or there, but for the most part, when the money's on the line and they test Randall, he's been there and made the play. And today, they challenged the rookie, and he made what really amounts to a hell of a play. I mean, he wasn't in the greatest position, but he dove and knocked the ball away and won the game. Randall is to the point now where when Morgan Burnett comes back, the Packers have a very good problem, and that's they don't know how to get him on the field. Micah Hyde and Quentin Rollins, those would be your three that you assume would kind of be rotating reps, but I see no reason why Demaryius Randall should be relegated to the bench just because 42's back in the lineup. I love what Demaryius Randall's done so far. He doesn't have the flashy plays, so he's not necessarily a Rookie of the Year candidate, but if you just watch the game, he's been one of the best rookie corners this season.
Yeah, and you have to have a level of concern that they're going to go back to Hyde in the slot and Hayward outside in nickel because that's the pecking order. But realistically, Hayward in the slot and Randall outside, I think, is the best cover group that we have. Ryan, what do you think of Demaryius, or what have you seen? What did you see today? You were fortunate enough to – or not fortunate enough. You saw the film. We saw it live, so you probably had a better look at a lot of it.
Yeah, you know, you see the big plays. He had two pass breakups on the goal line today, obviously the last play of the game. He also had that deep ball that was just out of the reach of his fingertips. Otherwise, he may have had an interception at the goal line again. But that's two really big plays in big spots. And the thing with him, as a rookie, you think, oh, maybe you flash a little bit, and then you give up some big plays. Because rookies tend to be inconsistent right off the bat. He hasn't had that many bad plays. He's not getting burned deep. He's not getting exposed. No one's, Keenan Allen beat him on quite a few slants, but he beat everybody on quite a few slants. He's not getting exposed by offensive coordinators, by receivers. He's playing pretty solidly all over the place, and he makes the big play when it's in front of him, when he needs to, and that's really surprising out of a rookie cornerback, and it was needed. It's like Jacob, like you said, we lost two veteran cornerbacks, and that was a big hole coming into the season, and Randall has filled it very admirably.
Well, and at the same time, the way that we play defense with so much cover three and cover one, you can't jump slant routes because if it's a double move, it's six.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's part of the way that the defense operates is going to let a good receiver like Keenan Allen
get inside, which
is, obviously unfortunate. It led to him catching 14 balls, which is kind of insane. But
in two and a half quarters.
Exactly. But at the same time, like you said, these statistics are based on 68 dropbacks, which is
a lot.
Insane. Guys, it's time. Janice Horn. We finally got to see them unleash the Janice. Obviously, this show is not alone in the love of the Janice, and some of it is like self-aware sarcasm, and at the same time, it's a difficult balance between this folk hero that Janice has become, and then at the same time, this legitimately, toolsy, exciting prospect that he is, and this receiver that he could be. But two huge plays today. The one on the flip pass, man, he looks fast. It just is unbelievable. And the second one was on another play that broke down. I'm pretty sure, just because of how long the play looked, I'd have to go back and look at the film, but I don't think that he ran like a 48-yard crossing pattern. I'm assuming that that was a breakdown or that was a secondary reaction play. And that's the kind of stuff I think, guys, where that's the trust stuff. That's where, you know, Rodgers obviously on the first break, on the first progression, wants you to be in the spot. And that's maybe the most important thing. But at the second time, when things break down, he's got to be able to trust that you're going to do something sensible and that you're going to be able to find a way to get open. How excited are you guys about Janis moving forward? Or do you think that the return of Randall Cobb to 100% health and the return of Davante Adams is going to mean a big snap reduction for number 83, who I would guarantee you had the most offensive snaps of his career today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He had the most offensive snaps of his career today. I don't think I have to see the numbers to prove that to be true. It was clear. It was almost out of necessity because of the injury to Ty Montgomery. But, you know, the first play that he had today that we talked about, his first reception was actually on a free play. So that was a breakdown. Rodgers just kind of threw it, and Janis got to the spot. The flip play, first of all, I know this show and any other show that this network does is probably going to tell you how awesome Aaron Rodgers is. But the flip pass to Janis, great play by him. Aaron Rodgers is Houdini. I have no idea how he got out of that sack, but he found a way out, flipped it to Janis, and as soon as he got the ball and got up to full speed, I'm thinking, damn. Like, you know, the stuff about his speed, you don't really get to see it because on punt stuff, special teams things, you're not specifically focusing on him, whereas he got the ball in his hands and just took off. It was fun to watch. I'm hoping, and I talked to you guys about this pre-show too, that, you know, the return of Davante Adams and the health of Randall Cobb, I think it's about time that we start looking at maybe the four wide package instead of, and this is nothing against Richard Rodgers. You know, he is what he is. He's a really solid second tight end. But as far as upside in the passing game goes, he's not going to beat anybody running routes. You know, he's going to be a possession type player, finds holes in zones, stuff like that. And that has value to the offense. But when the offense gets bogged down, I want to see Montgomery in the game still when Adams comes back, assuming his health is good to go. And I don't mind seeing Janis in that lineup either. You know, we've been talking, the deep threat thing has been discussed almost ad nausea for the last 2 weeks or so, maybe even longer. Packers haven't had a deep ball, and Janis is the guy on the roster with the speed and the ability to do things like that. He can open up some stuff on the field, even if he's not necessarily getting the ball. And for the JS comments type people, he did target Janis on a couple plays that were trust kind of plays, so it's not a conspiracy against the guy. He just has to be in the right spot. Today, he was in the right spot more than he wasn't.
And they ran the shot play. I saw it. They ran the shot play that you just didn't. I don't know if – and maybe that's not on Janis. Maybe they just had good coverage. But they ran it to him, and they didn't – they ran him with him running the pattern.
Yep.
And they just didn't go that direction. But it's
Yeah, they did the double move route that, that Jordy's famous for. They ran it with Janis. The Chargers had it double covered. I believe that was the play that – Randall Cobb had the drop.
That's right.
Because the secondary route on that play is always a deepish cross.
Yeah. So they had Janis covered up deep with two guys, and then Cobb was open. He just dropped it. But that was the shot play that we have not really seen all season. It was finally there. I believe I tweeted "shot play" in all caps when we finally saw it happen. But yeah, Janis has been obviously forced into a role today. With Montgomery going out, with all the injuries we've had at the wide receiver position, you're forced into reps, and all of a sudden, you know, Aaron Rodgers not necessarily trusting you kind of goes out the window, because if he's the only guy on the field, you know, he's going to have to go there if he's one of the guys with primary, on a primary read and a route, and he took advantage. He made plays when they needed him to, and maybe that goes a ways for Rodgers to trust him. Maybe he is relegated to fewer snaps when Davante Adams comes back. But it certainly shows that he is capable of doing it when he gets the ball in his hands. Now he just has to more consistently run routes well and more consistently catch the ball when it hits him. And I think he can put it together. And you'll see it a little bit at a time. It's probably going to take a while, but I think he can be a quality receiver and certainly in a value as a late round pick like he was.
And I think it's clear, you know, that they are trying to involve him, because even before Monty got hurt, and it could have been a situation, too, where they were trying to limit how much they rep James Jones, because there were plays in the early part of the game where Janice and Cobb were the two receivers, or Janice and Monty or whatever, when they were just using different personnel packages. I think James has a little bit of a hammy issue that, you know, is, but that's another thing, the bye week. Guys, let's talk about the bye week. Obviously, 2 weeks off, and then Denver. Ryan, you and I will release a short podcast a week from today, or, you know, giving the people a little bit of a mid-season review. I know it's not mid-season, but a pre-bye review, and then previewing the Broncos game. So we're just going to leave that for now, mm-hmm. and talk about it in a week. But we can talk about how important it is for Green Bay to get the bye this week. I'm of the opinion that it's possible. A couple of guys, and Coach McCarthy would never admit to this, but I'm of the opinion that there were a couple guys that maybe could have gone today that just didn't, because that second week of rest was going to be so important. Jacob, we'll start with you. Who are you the most excited about getting back after the bye, of the guys that have missed these last few weeks of playing and have been ramping up to get back for Denver?
Oh, Davante Adams. You know, as much as the defense played well without Morgan Burnett, 5 out of 6 games. Well, 4 out of 6 games if you really include the Chicago game, as I'm not playing well. But they played well without him for the most part. Today was a step back. And, of course, him coming back is going to do some good things for the defense. But this is a guy that Aaron Rodgers said can be a star. And the Packers need a star receiver, because you can see, I mean, there are plays where the slot corner and the safety just follow 18 wherever he goes. And another guy like Adams that Rodgers can trust and can make some plays is going to do good things for the offense. And that's something that'll open up the passing game, and you'll probably see more, you know, 30-point games, stuff that you got used to, really. We almost take it for granted how often this team scored 30. I mean, today was a bad day, quote-unquote, offensively, and they scored 27 points. I mean, that's the kind of production that you're used to getting if you're watching the Packers' offense. It's definitely exciting to get him back. And one other thing on a smaller note that I'm excited about, you mentioned something McCarthy will never admit to. Eddie Lacy is still injured. And yes. I think that has been made obvious the last, ever since that Seattle game, it's been clear. They usually do things to limit his workload. Today, James Starks started the game at running back. Eddie only had, what, 3 yards or something like that? He didn't Four carries, 3 yards.
So got smoked.
Yes, Denzel Perryman. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I heard the pop from the pads way up in the stands from where I was at. That was a fantastic hit. But Eddie's still hurt. And it's been clear, and it's kind of frustrating that, you know, if you're going to limit Eddie's workload like that, then just make him inactive, give him a week off, and throw Alonzo Harris out there. Run the Cobb backfield package, Montgomery backfield package, whatever you want to do. But it's almost to the point where Eddie at this point is wasting an active spot on the game day. And I hate to say that about a guy, because I think he's a star as well. And I think you could see some of the struggles in the running game kind of equated to the lack of a fully healthy Eddie Lacy. We haven't seen him healthy since, what, the first half of the Seattle game? That was when he got hurt. So I think it was actually the first series of the Seattle game he got hurt. So we haven't seen Eddie Lacy healthy since the Chicago game. It's good to get him some rest, get those guys back. But ultimately, Adams, Burnett, and Raji are all very important to what the Packers want to do on each side of the ball. Nick Perry probably is as well. I think he's kind of earned his way into that with his early season play. It's always going to be good to get those guys back. I don't know if you're going to get Perry back, but I would bet the other three, Adams, Burnett, Raji, will be back next week. But as far as the original question that I kind of digressed from, Davante Adams is my guy, because I'm an offense guy. I want to see them score some more points. And with Peyton Manning coming in, you know, not to give you guys a preview before the preview, but Peyton Manning, still a guy that by name recognition alone earns your respect. You expect that the Packers are going to have to score some points to beat that team. So I'm prepared for and hoping for, actually. Well, I'm hoping for a blowout because I do that every week. But hoping for something that resembles a shootout, just to watch Rodgers and Manning with the only quarterback duel that we're ever going to see with Rodgers in his prime. Because the only other time that these two quarterbacks faced off was at Lambeau, and that was Rodgers' first year as a starter. And we kicked the crap out of them, if you guys remember that. So that was nice to see, but Davante Adams is my guy. I want him back, and I want to see him become that star that Aaron Rodgers says he is.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can pick a single guy. There's so many guys who are just nicked and just need the rest. You talked about Lacy. James Jones doesn't look 100%. Randall Cobb is has some nagging stuff, and then all the guys who are actually missing, Adams and Adams, Burnett, Raji.
TJ's got a knee, too.
TJ was injured last week and was able to come back and play. So many guys that just need 2 weeks of rest is going to be hopefully just a lifesaver for them. If you come back with the Denver game, you think that the offense could look a lot different with Jones and Cobb and Lacey and Lang all getting 2 weeks of rest. Adams getting another 2 weeks to hopefully get back and ready. I think Adams is one of those guys who probably could have gone today if it was week 16 and we're fighting for a first-round bye or something like that. But having those guys, all those guys back on offense, it's going to be a totally different-looking offense when we come back against Denver in 2 weeks. But at the same time, you can't discount what Burnett and Raji and Perry have meant to the defense early in the season. Burnett's really, really good down in the box as a safety. That would have been huge today with the Chargers going to tight ends and going to quick routes over the middle of the field. It would have been huge having Morgan Burnett in there today. And the same thing with Raji, getting pressure right up the middle right away. That would have been big to make Rivers get the ball out even faster than he wanted to. So I don't even think I can pick one guy. Everybody across the whole team just needs 2 weeks of rest, and it's going to look like a whole different team in 2 weeks.
I totally agree. I mean, I think I kind of am with Jacob a little bit on the Devontae thing just because
he's probably the guy if I had to pick
one. Right, and there's like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. But the guy that I'm most intrigued by and what I want to see is Morgan Burnett because he hasn't really been involved this season. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember over the last couple of years, when Burnett would go out, that defense would fall apart. Now, this defense hasn't fallen apart. It's playing very well. So that makes me think, man, what if, if Morgan really is the X factor that he's appeared to be, and not maybe necessarily just his play, but the quarterback and the defense, making the secondary calls, things like that, getting guys in the right spot, and just making, good plays. You get a guy like Morgan Burnett back, man, this defense could be something scary. It'll be interesting to see, as far as like DVOA rankings, is where the defense, because they were in the top four, I think.
They were.
And after week six, but we'll see what this does, moving forward. It doesn't matter. But at the same time, it'd be interesting to see what this group can do defensively with Morgan Burnett in the game because he just hasn't been involved.
No, and God bless Chris Banjo's heart. He's a hell of a story. Really good special teams player, but when Morgan Burnett comes back, the snaps that he's getting on defense go to Micah Hyde.
Oh, for sure.
And Micah Hyde is a better defensive player than Chris Banjo is, and that's one other thing that'll be really nice to see, being able to – all these moving parts. I mean, the term I've used and talked to you about was embarrassment of riches. That's typically reserved for the Packers receiving core. When Burnett comes back, if Randall continues to play well, Rollins continues to progress, the Packers have that in their secondary. An embarrassment of riches, and that's exciting to see.
We were talking, too, before the game. I mean, we looked at the inactive list, and it's like, man, how many of these guys are by choice?
Right.
I think Lane Taylor, Brett Hundley, and there maybe was one other guy that was being – well, Alonzo Harris was being held out of the game by choice, And so it'd be nice to get inactives on game day that – just aren't part of the 46.
A pro star or a Pro Bowl team, basically.
Right, exactly. Guys, that'll do it for us. We would love for you guys, the listeners, to subscribe to Packers Talk on iTunes. Always helpful for us. Give Packers Talk a positive review if you're going to get us a review. But that kind of stuff helps us with searches and things like that, and also helps us provide you the best Packers content possible. You can follow me at Ross Uglum. You can follow the show at From the Benches. Jacob, where can they follow you?
They can follow me at Jacob Westendorf.
And don't forget to listen to Pulse of the Pack with Jacob Westendorf and our beloved Jason Perrone. Ryan, where can they get you?
I am at Hillsland 358.
Thanks, everybody, and go Pack, go.
From the Benches. From the Benches.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.